with which our new cook has favoured us. Their condition may not be unconnected with the copy of the Family Herald, which I observed yesterday upon the hall table. Even so trivial a matter as cooking an egg demands an attention which is conscious of the passage of time, and incompatible with the love romance in that excellent periodical. A quarter of an hour later, the table had been cleared and we were face to face. He had drawn a letter from his pocket. "You have heard of Neil Gibson, the Gold King?" he said.
"You mean the American senator?"
"Well, he was once senator for some western state, but is better known as the greatest gold-mining magnate in the world."
"Yes, I know of him. He has surely lived in England for some time. His name is very familiar."
"Yes, he bought a considerable estate in Hampshire some 5 years ago. Possibly you have already heard of the tragic end of his wife."
"Of course, I remember it now. That is why the name is familiar, but I really know nothing of the details."
Holmes waved his hand towards some papers on a chair. "I had no idea that the case was coming my way, or I should have had my extracts ready," said he. "The fact is that the problem, though exceedingly sensational, appeared to present no difficulty. The interesting personality of the accused does not obscure the clearness of the evidence. That was the view taken by the coroner's jury, and also in the police court proceedings. It is now referred to the assizes at Winchester. I fear it is a thankless business."
"I can discover facts, Watson, but I cannot change them. Unless some entirely new and unexpected ones come to light, I do not see what my client can hope for."
"Your client?" "Ah, I forgot I had not told you. I am getting into your involved habit, Watson, of telling a story backwards. You had best read this first."
The letter which he handed to me, written in a bold, masterful hand, ran as follows. "Claridge's Hotel, October the 3rd. Dear Mr. Sherlock Holmes, I can't see the best woman God ever made go to her death without doing all that is possible to save her. I can't explain things, I can't even try to explain them, but I know beyond all doubt that Miss Dunbar is innocent. You know the facts. Who doesn't? It has been the gossip of the country, and never a voice raised for her. It's the damned injustice of it all that makes me crazy. That woman has a heart that wouldn't let her kill a fly. Well, I'll come at 11 tomorrow and see if you can get some ray of light in the dark. Maybe I have a clue and don't know it. Anyhow, all I know, and all I have, and all I am, are for your use if only you can save her. If ever in your life you showed your powers, put them now into this case.
Yours faithfully, J. Neil Gibson." "There you have it," said Sherlock Holmes, knocking out the ashes of his after-breakfast pipe and slowly refilling it. "That is the gentleman I await. As to the story, you have hardly time to master all these papers, so I must give it to you in a nutshell if you are to take an intelligent interest in the proceedings. This man is the greatest financial power in the world, and a man, as I understand, of most violent and formidable character. He married a wife, the victim of this tragedy, of whom I know nothing save that she was past her prime, which was the more unfortunate, as a very attractive governess superintended the education of two young children. These are the three people concerned, and the scene is a grand old manor house, the centre of a historical English estate. Then as to the tragedy. The wife was found in the grounds, nearly half a mile from the house, late at night, clad in her dinner dress, with a shawl over her shoulders, and a revolver bullet through her brain. No weapon was found near her, and there was no local clue as to the murder." "No weapon near her, Watson. Mark that. The crime seems to have been committed late in the evening, and the body was found by a gamekeeper about 11 o'clock, when it was examined by the police and by a doctor before being carried up to the house. Is this too condensed, or can you follow it clearly?"
"It's all very clear. But why suspect the governess?"
"Well, in the first place, there is some very direct evidence. A revolver with one discharged chamber and a calibre which corresponded with the bullet was found on the floor of her wardrobe."
His eyes fixed, and he repeated in